Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and you heard the ask before the break, so we'll just dive into your calls. As for about 10 minutes, we're going to do a quick survey of what you talked about this weekend in your synagogue, church, or mosque, whether it was from the pulpit or more informally on people's lips, conversations that mattered. Susan and Chelsea, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Brian. I was at, I'm a member of Middle Collegiate Church in the East Village, and instead of a sermon, we had an early Earth Day celebration, and instead of a sermon, we had a Q&A with our minister, Jackie Lewis, and the children of the community, sort of soliciting their ideas and questions about ways that we hurt the Earth and how we can help.
Susan, thank you very much. Let's go to Ahmed in Queens. You're on WNYC. Thanks so much for calling.
Yes, I attend the meeting, my wife and I, at the mosque, Dar al-Da'wah in Astoria. The topic was about the Muslim teenagers and young youth, how to understand them, how to communicate with them, what their problem, and so on. That was the meeting yesterday.
What aspect came up most intensely?
Actually, the aspect we have to understand their needs and their they need to have fun, they need to have their own interest. Maybe this different than what the parents understand and what the parents maybe approve.
Was that largely for an immigrant parent community and you were dealing with the Americanization of the teens?
Absolutely, yes.
Thank you for your call. We really appreciate it. Steve in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. In our synagogue, a rabbi asked the question of the entire congregation, how do we pray or why do we pray? And it was followed by a very lively dialogue between the congregants and the rabbi, including some very interesting answers, such as we pray to connect, we pray to disconnect, we pray to develop mindfulness, and so on. I'd be interested in hearing your comments and the listeners' comments as well.
Well, it's a very interesting dichotomy that we pray to connect and we pray to disconnect, isn't it?
This was a very brilliant rabbi.
Thank you very much. Catherine in Midtown, you're on WNYC. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, Brian. I was at St. Ignatius Loyola Parish on Sunday, and it's a Catholic church. This week, the Archdiocese surveyed all of us who attended church. This is in addition to the homily, and if I have my statistics right, there are over 300 parishes in the diocese, 88 in Manhattan, 22 in the Upper East Side alone. And this was a survey about what parishes, the anticipated closing of parishes due to financial crunch, priest shortage, changing population, decrease in the number of Catholics, and we had to fill out what our priorities would be as to what makes a viable parish. Is it church attendance? Is it financial? And it was pretty interesting given that our the same kind of budget discussions are going on in government.
Sure. And was there a consensus?
Well, I don't know that there. I don't know that anyone had a consensus, but funny thing, an aside, my friend and I talked about it a little bit afterwards, I was sitting next to, and the two of us said, well, you know, they really could help solve the priest shortage by letting there be married priests and letting women have a different role in the church.
Catherine, thank you very much. We're taking your calls for another few minutes on what you talked about this weekend in your synagogue, church, or mosque. What conversation that mattered from the pulpit or in the halls? And Marlene in Morris County, you're on WNYC. Hi, Marlene.
Brian, how are you?
Good, thank you.
This weekend I had the chance to visit my parents' church in rural Pennsylvania, And the pastor and his wife had just returned from a tour of Israel. And so he was sharing his thoughts and views from that trip. But the overwhelming or the overall message was kind of focused on the state of Jews in Israel and social concerns, where they're at, and how as a Christian church, how that kind of plays to us, how we're all facing similar issues, etc.
What kind of a Christian church was it?
Just an independent Christian church.
Mm-hmm. Kind of evangelical, or you wouldn't use that word?
More conservative, evangelical, yes.
And why did they send people to Israel to report on the state of Israel or the state of the Jews, as opposed to looking at something more Christian, if I'm understanding you right?
Well, it was a Christian-based trip that they were on. It wasn't necessarily sending him there to report back. It was a gift that the church gave to him.
Uh-huh.
And
what did you hear?
Just overall, some of the same issues that we face as Christians. I don't want to get too political or socially based, but the concerns that divide the church here are something that the Jewish people are also dealing with, obviously.
On more sort of conservative or liberal interpretations of religion?
I'm sorry?
On sort of more liberal or conservative approaches to religion, those kinds of divisions?
Yes, exactly.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Biba in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Hello, Biba.
Hello, Brian. Thank you very much for accepting my call.
Thanks.
And it's nice to be back on your show after a few months.
I'm glad you are.
Brian, mine is a little different. I went to a Sikh temple on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
It's in Bridgewater, New Jersey. And I went there with my cousin, and there was this little, they had a prayer and then food. And I met some, friends who are from Delhi, where I come from and where my parents live. And we were exchanging notes about what's happening in Delhi, and there was this big protest against corruption. And a social activist called Anna Hazare had this, I don't know if you're aware of it, there was this, he was fasting and about hundreds of people were supporting him and there were volunteers there. And this protest spread peacefully to various other cities in India. They had one here in Times Square in support of Anna Hazare, who's a social activist, and he was, protesting that the government should enforce a law against corruption, and it should be from the people. And what struck me and my friends was we were talking about it, and everything was so peaceful over there. And we compared what was happening in Northern Africa, in the Arab world. And we said, even though India is not a perfect democracy, but because it's a democracy, this protest was so peaceful. And it really struck us, that comparison between what happened in India last week and what's happening in the Arab world.
Thank you very much for your call. On our comments page, Charles in Newark writes that at his Anglican Episcopal Church, quote, big thing was the egotism of the Quran burning in Florida, the egotism of it. Sharon in Harlem. Sharon, did you attend a synagogue on Friday night and then a church on Sunday?
Yes, that is correct.
And what brought you to each?
Well, I was raised Lutheran, and I've always been a Lutheran, but about a couple of years ago, I discovered that I have a Jewish soul.
Uh-huh.
So I've been going to Central Synagogue for about 2 years.
Fascinating.
As well.
So what happened in these two houses of worship?
In the synagogue, I don't remember which Torah portion it was, but it had to do with, if you have somebody who has a disease or something wrong with them in their house, you have to purify their house. Or if they have mildew in their house, there's a whole ritual for purifying their house. And Rabbi Rubenstein talked about, for the Japanese people, what it would take for them, if they've lost everything or maybe their house is somewhat
mm-hmm.
destroyed or completely destroyed,
mm-hmm.
what will be required for them to have a new life again, to have a sacred house of their own, which was very powerful and pretty unexpected from a...
Did he come to a conclusion about what it would take?
Not really. I think he left it sort of for us to think about, and mostly just relating it to, you know, relating that ancient Torah portion to our modern world, and that's it's such a huge scale of suffering and pain.
Yes,
over there.
Indeed. Yes. And then on Sunday?
And on Sunday, at St. Peter's Church, which is right across the street and has a great relationship with Central Synagogue, Pastor Durr, the senior pastor, he talked about Lazarus, the whole story of Lazarus being raised from the dead by Jesus, and that there's nothing in any of the Gospels telling us what happened to Lazarus after he was raised from the dead. He was, you know, dead, buried, raised, and then he sat at table with Jesus.
And what question does it raise that nothing is said about that?
Well, it raises, you know, what did the rest of his life look like, and how did he go about, mm-hmm. you know, living after having been dead, and what would his hopes and dreams be, and just, I mean, any question you would have about anyone's life after literally having lost it, which none of us know, and Pastor Durr's point was that we are all Lazarus, all baptized Christians are Lazarus, we are all sitting at table with Jesus because we've died to our old selves and we've been resurrected again in the life of Jesus.
Yes. Do you find that you get different kinds of sustenance, if that's the right word, from your attendance at synagogue and your attendance at church?
I do. I've been involved at St. Peter's for so long that I'm actually a liturgical assistant every single week, and this last Sunday I was actually the deacon.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel more like I'm sort of integrated into the service, and I have an active role in actually producing the service, which is feels really wonderful to me, but it is work, too.
Mm-hmm.
At a Central Synagogue, I just go and I sit, and I'm surrounded in this bubble of love. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. It's such a... I feel that at St. Peter's, too, but at Central, I can just sit there and be, and just be in silence, or be singing, mm-hmm. or be praying. And it is different, but the two complement each other so well, and I find so many similarities between the two. You know, the history of Christianity actually started with the whole history of the Jews up until the time of Jesus, so we share an awful lot.
Sharon, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. We'll do one more. Barrett in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello, Barrett.
Hi, Brian. Yes, I'm surprised you mentioned mosque, church, and synagogue. The thing is that, you know, very little of the media addresses the Hindu temples in Queens and Bronx and all, in, you know, Brooklyn and other areas. But
yes.
I was at my temple Saturday night. We had a special service. It's an Arya Samaj temple. You know, within Hinduism, we have different groups, different organizations. And this week, yesterday, April 10th, the Arya Samaj celebrated their 136th anniversary. And one of our main discussion was we talk, one of the principles we follow, which is, for a matter of fact, the sixth principle, is to do good to the whole world, which is the main object of Hinduism, of Samaj. And that is to improve the physical, the spiritual, the social states of the human experience. A lot of times, sometimes we focus on just the spiritual aspect of our growth, our development, but we're not concerned about, you know, the less fortunate ones out there. And so that's why in our system, in our organization, we have been building orphanages not only here in not so much in New York, but where we have come from, like Guyana, India, Trinidad, and these other places. And so yesterday we had an outdoor service where several temples came together, and we had what we call a fire ritual. Every family brought their own you know, their own stuff, and we did a very nice service from 10 to 12, and we had a keynote address addressing all these aspects of, you know, our dealings with each other in accordance with love, law, and propriety. And so, you know, I want just to share this with you because...
And I'm glad you did, and you're right, I didn't mention Hindu in my original ask, so I'm really glad that you called in and added it, and I will include it the next time we do this.
Thank you, Brian. I appreciate you taking my call. And do add Hinduism, because if you remember the president, President Obama, in his inaugural speech, he said, you're a nation of Hindus, Christians and Jews, Hindus and Muslims. He was one of the first presidents that ever mentioned the word Hindus in his inaugural address. You know?
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And thanks to all of you who called and reported on your attendance at religious institutions over the weekend and the conversations that mattered. Really, really interesting, and a lot for everybody else who didn't attend to think about. Thanks a lot, and we will do this again. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, after a short break, Imani Perry on her new book called More Beautiful and More Terrible, about unintentional racism. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.